Wow. Okay. I can't tell you just what a blessing this morning was to Susan and I. Just your spirit, your love, your happiness. It's so unique anymore. There's so many churches that are in bondage and just oppressed. And this is a remarkable church. And we, as we drove away, we were just praising God for you. Because when you minister, it works both ways. And thank God for the wonderful spirit of this church. And Susan and I were talking, and she said, didn't Bill, when he read the scripture there out of James, didn't he do a beautiful job? And his testimony and his words were so succinct and just a blessing, just right on target. And I guess she's become my Holy Spirit or something, because she says, and doesn't Pastor Josh, he's so articulate. He's such a great communicator. And honestly, I said to Susan, I said, they may be the finest young couple in the ministry today. They're not high-minded. They're not walking around with their head in the air. They're not snooty. They're not arrogant. They are just humble servants of God, and the hand of the Lord is surely upon them. And I've been at this a long time, 40 years, and I've been to a lot of conferences, and I've been to a lot of fellowship meetings and pastors meetings, and I'm telling you, there's so much arrogance, there's so much high-mindedness even in the ministry today, and it's a stench to God. God hates it. Because God loves people. And God looks to the humble, contrite heart. He wants nothing to do with arrogance and pride. And all sin is like when Satan was cast out of heaven. He was lifted up with pride. And all sin has its root in pride. And so I just want to say to you that you are so blessed. And I know you probably know what I'm talking about. You're so blessed to have Pastor Josh and his sweet wife Heather. And I know God is going to do greater things. As I spoke about this morning, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. And that goes for your pastor. His heart is perfect towards God. And his wife, her heart is perfect towards God. And God will bless you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on your behalf if your heart is perfect towards God. I want to share what the Lord has given me. And I thought about having a business meeting and just saying we need to take care of a little business. And since Pastor Josh isn't here, and I'm just wondering if anybody has a fishing pole that I could borrow when I go to Clear Lake before the prayer experience starts, I might be able to catch a fish and get one of those one-day licenses or whatever they sell here, Walmart. Could I have a motion? And a second? Does anybody have a pole? Can I get a witness? I need a pole and some hooks and a sinker. All in favor, say amen. Amen. Somebody help a brother. Okay. Took care of that. Supposedly, there's 300 million Christians in America. Well, they call them Christians. That's everything from Catholicism to Mormonism to Presbyterianism and Baptists and Lutherans and everything. And yet, Everybody's running to and fro. And today was the Bloomsday. I thought it was Doomsday or Blooming Idiots or something, you know. I was one of my grandma's blooming idiots. I was a pansy. And, you know, they're all out there running and all this stuff and all this activity. And they're rushing down the road as fast as they can. And as we were driving back to the hotel, you know, for several miles, it said the right lane is closed ahead. And they're just trying to zoom by each other and get their, you know, and one-upmanship. Everybody has to get ahead of everybody else. And when, and we're looking at the world today, and it's crazy. You know, burn down your own city? You know, anarchy in the streets. It's just nuts. And I'm like you, I see this, and a couple of fellows were talking to me at lunch today. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? And I've heard about and seen the things that you've heard about and see. But I want to tell you tonight that the problem is not Islam. Sure, are they our enemies? Yeah, because if you read the Quran, you're supposed to kill anybody that's not a Muslim. And that's the way it is. It's Satan's religion. And the problem, I'm sorry, the homosexuality is an abomination to God. That's not our problem. When we see our country and the crazy things that are going on and how we've departed from the Word, we've departed from being a country under God, one nation under God, and anything goes in this crazy world. And I see these things that you see, and I hear these things that you hear. And it discomforts me and it upsets me. But I realize that that's not the problem. The problem is us. We sought for the enemy, and they is us. The biggest problem that you have in your life is you. Now, there are three enemies to your soul. The world, the whole world system, all this craziness. The flesh, that's you. And the devil. And any of those three things will assault you and try to take you down. Destroy you as a person. Destroy your family. Destroy your health. Destroy your finances. A family member was on Facebook today, and they're having this diabetes. And they're sick with diabetes, and it's flared up. And the person said, I tried to control it with my diet. Really? Ice cream, cake, Starbucks, with all the sugar. Come on, who are you kidding? We know this person very well. We sought for the enemy, and they is us. Turn in the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, you know this well because this is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And by the way, remember I told you I was going to make you happy tonight? I want to make you happy because God wants to make you happy. Did you know that? God wants to make you happy. The whole world's looking for happiness. They sing songs about it. They sing songs about it. Everybody wants to be happy. If I could just get a new house, I'd be happy. If I could just get a new car, I'd be happy. If I just had a new job, I'd be happy. If I just had this, if I just had that, if I could just do this, I'd be happy. If I could just get a fishing pole for Friday morning, I'd be happy. for an hour. I'd be even happier if I caught one. But that's not where happiness comes from. And I want to make you happy tonight. And I want to make you happy tonight because God wants to make you happy tonight. But you've got to participate. You've got to help out. And so, you know 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If God's speaking, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 7, verse 14. God is speaking, says, if my people, not the ungodly, not the unrighteous, not the Hindus, not the Muslims, my people. He said, wait a minute, it's my people, which are called by my name. What are you called? A Christian? They were called Christians. It was actually a derogatory word, but it meant followers of Christ. Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch because they were persecuted. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, already said, God wants to bless and prosper and help and give victory to a humble and contrite heart. And he said, my glory I'll share with no man. If we're full of glory, if we're full of self, we're full of pride, God says he'll have nothing to do with it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Here's what the word humble means. That's what it means. It means to get on your face before God. God is holy. The Bible says, he is high and lifted up. And the cherubim and the seraphim fly before the holy of holies with God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6. And day and night, here's God, the presence of God. Here's God on his throne and Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And day and night, the angels have six wings, and with two wings they cover their eyes because God is holy. And with two wings they cover their feet because God is holy. And with the two middle wings they fly, and 24/7 they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And Christian America is unholy. And Jesus said that we are to be holy as he is holy. Holy. And so God promises to really make a person happy that humbles themselves before the mighty hand of God. And by the way, he said, if you will humble yourself before the mighty God, I will lift you up in due time. And we need some lifting up. We sang about it. Victory in Jesus. Man, I love victory. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering. I don't really like to suffer. But you gotta suffer. You gotta die to self. David said it to me twice today. He said, I've got to crucify the old man. I've got to die to self. Paul said that I might know him, Jesus, and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. I want the power of the resurrection. But I don't want to have to die to self to do it. I want the power of the resurrection. But I don't want to enter into the fellowship of the suffering. And we don't realize the suffering is a gift from God to bring us through the death experience to the resurrection power that God wants us to live in. I'm telling you something. You know, oh boy. In my life, I'm living in resurrection power today. Not because I'm bright or have the smartest person in the room or the best looking, but because I've learned that, Gary, you got to humble yourself before God and get on your face and die to self and go through the fellowship of his suffering, and then you get to the power of the resurrection. You got to go through the tomb to rise again. You got to die to self to rise again. And this is a mystery, and I tell you, you and I need to ask the Holy Spirit, teach me, show me. And so if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Nobody prays today. We had these men and these pastors. We have hundreds of testimonies in the office from pastors and Christian businessmen and church leaders whose lives have been changed, transformed in the 3-day prayer experience at the ranch. And one pastor said, listen, he said, I've never prayed for 3 days in my life. I've never known anybody that prayed for 3 days straight. He said, but I went to the prayer experience and we prayed for 3 days straight. Changed his life. Changed his ministry. Interesting thing. Our son Joe, the evangelist, he was recently in Tacoma there with his brother Josh, and they were getting ready for their revival, and Josh declared to the church they're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. And men came to our son Josh into the office and said, Pastor, what are we going to do for 12 hours? Pastor, I don't think I could pray for 12 hours. What would I pray for 12 hours? And, you know, it's because, listen, some of those people have been in church for 30, 40, 50, 60 years and have never, ever spent a night in prayer. And so, Josh, Josh is a man of God, and he took what we do at the prayer experience where we have different prayer stations, not the 14 stations of the cross, but we, that's Catholic, but we have prayer stations, and by the waterfall, we'll confess all known sin. By the windmill and the pond, we'll die to self. Down in the Garden of Gethsemane, we pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. Down by the creek, down a creek without a paddle, we praise God and thank God. And then over on the other side of the meadow, that's where we make intercessory prayer and we pray for people. The greatest privilege in the world is to make intercession for somebody else. And so, Josh, he called it and they met at the church at 7 o'clock and, he preached on prayer and they sang a song and then they prayed and then they broke into groups and they prayed in different groups. Listen, Josh was associate pastor, raised in a pastor's home, graduated from Bible college, and he went to Josh the next day and he said, Josh, he said, I prayed with Joe, and 4 or 5 guys would go here to these different stations to pray. And he said, I prayed with Joe. He said, in my entire life, I have never heard somebody else pray along with somebody else while they were praying like Joe did. Well, you know, the Bible says, if any two shall agree on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. So after all these years, Joe, by his example, taught him a lesson that you need to pray with other people while they're praying. And so they confessed sin and they repented and then they had another session on prayer and then they sang a song and they had different groups go here and there. And then after the first 2 hours, Josh had Joe preach on how to be filled with the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God. And those men went out and began to pray all over the facility and all over the building for the power of the Holy Spirit. And those guys prayed all night long. And then, on Saturday morning, they had the monthly men's prayer meeting. Biggest waste of time in any church. I had been there just a few weeks earlier. I went to the monthly men's prayer meeting. I walked in there, and they had omelets to order. Woo, I like omelets to order. I'll have some ham and some cheese. Put a few onions on there. And how about some mushrooms? Man, they cooked it up. They have a guy that was a cook in the service. That guy's a professional. He made a beautiful omelet. Man, they made beautiful hash browns. They had beautiful bacon. And I'm telling you, I thought, man, this is one of the best prayer breakfasts I've ever been to. And so everybody was in line and they made to order breakfast for everybody. We could have done the same thing at IHOP, but here we were in the basement of the church. And so everybody's Everybody slapping each other on the back in heaven. They're Baptists, so they love to eat. And just call me Buzzard Baptist. And I love to eat. And so when we're all done eating, a guy, they sang a song. Oh, that was good. And then a guy got up and taught a lesson on prayer. And then for 30 minutes, they took prayer requests. Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. Yeah. Yeah, brother, that's good. Yeah, that's brother. That's brother. Man, we've already been there for an hour and a half. Wow, I like these prayer breakfasts. This is great. Man, I got food, I got juice, I got coffee, I got fellowship, I got a lesson on prayer, and now, man, I got all these prayer requests. And everybody prayed for 5 minutes and left. 5 minutes and left. Huh. What are you people thinking? Call it a breakfast, but not a prayer breakfast. Call it a prayer request breakfast, but not a prayer breakfast. And so here before the revival 2 weeks ago, Joe poured his heart out and preached on the Spirit of God and those men all over that building. So now they all come in, the people that couldn't be there. The guys come in, and here these 33 men had been praying all night, and they said, "Aren't you tired?" They said, "No, we're not tired. Man, we're so excited." What? Man, God met with us. The glory of the Lord came down. It was a glorious experience. And here's all these, you know, sleepy-eyed guys come in. "You're not tired? You're not weary? Do you want to go home and go to bed?" "No, we're going out on visitation." See what happened? They got happy. They got happy. And by the way, the first day of that revival, our dear friend Benny Beckham came. And Benny Beckham, he was a pastor, and his wife passed away and died. And he went into a room and prayed there in grieving over his wife and weeping over his wife. And God gave him this prayer ministry. He does 51 prayer revivals a year. Now, I couldn't do that. I mean, that's unbelievable. Because when you're doing with a revival, the first revival I did at this church, Brother Tom says, "Can you come back next year?" I said, "Listen. I said, I don't have any more to give. I've given it all." You know, he said, you know, and so, but it's such a privilege for us to come back here. I'll find some more to give. And, but here's the thing. Benny Beckham stood in that pulpit on a Sunday morning, and he began to share the Word of God, and he's a broken man, he's a tender man, he's a gracious man, and lo and behold, a man stands up under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Man stands up, the church is packed. Man stands up with tears streaming down his face. He said, "Pastor, I have to ask the church to forgive me. I've been bitter. I've been resentful." And there in the middle of the service, he asked the people of the church to forgive him for his bad attitude and bad spirit and bitter spirit. The Spirit of God began to sweep through those people. And a man stood up and said, "I can't stand it." He said, "Pastor," he said, I've been addicted to pornography all my life." Boy, that shocked some people. Yeah. Yeah, it shocked some people. Whoa, too much information. Huh? But the Spirit of God had smote his heart, and that man rushed forward, and other men came and put their arms around him, and they wept together, and they prayed together, and that man was delivered from the curse of pornography. And then that night, they came back for the preaching again, and Brother Benny Beckham shared, and a woman stands up, one of the main women of the church. And she begins to shake and she begins to tremble and she begins to weep. And she says, "Church, I'm sorry. But I've been addicted to pornography all these years." Oh my goodness. People were astounded. And then a young man stood up. And a good Christian young man. His father's one of the main pillars of the church. And he stands up. And he said, "I have to confess to you." Now, Hey, nobody made him do that. Nobody. It was the Holy Spirit. I read about the Welch revivals where the preacher would stand up after the people had prayed for a month, and the preacher would stand up and people would just start falling under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and cry out to God for mercy. I read Jonathan Goforth's book, By My Spirit, where Jonathan Goforth was a missionary in China and nothing was happening. And he heard about the revivals down in Korea, and he went to Korea and he saw these people under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God begin to break down and weep and cry and confess all manner of sin. And great revival broke out in Korea. And you talk about a revival today. There's a great revival going on in Korea and the Philippines and places like that. And Jonathan Goforth went back to his missionary work in China. And the Chinese people were so proud that they would pray. The missionaries would pray and pray and pray and preach and preach and preach, and nothing happened. And Goforth went back there after being in Korea, and he began to pray and fast and pray, and the missionaries would fast and pray. And one night in a service, a proud businessman, Chinese businessman, stood up and began to weep and tremble and said, "I've been stealing money from people." And he confessed that sin. And other Chinese people stood up, proud Chinese people that would show no emotion, and they began to confess their sin, and it was not brought on by man, but it was brought on by the Holy Spirit. And in these 40 years that I've been preaching, I've seen some amazing movements of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, when God moves, people are convicted of their sin. And this young man stood up in front of the church and said, "I've been addicted to alcohol. And nobody knows it." And he came forward, and his father rushed, pillar of the church, rushed down and put his arm around his son, and they wept and prayed together. And then for 2 hours after the service, God's people came down to encourage him and help him and pray with him. And great revival began to break out there in the church in Lakewood, night after night after night. And some of the best people in the church begin to be critical. "I don't want to hear about everybody's sin in church." Well, then, you know, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying if the Holy Spirit's leading and convicting people, don't be against what God is for. I think of the sweet people in this church, and you've got some children that have gone off into sin. I was talking to a lady just a little while ago. Her kids used to be in church. And see, here's the problem. There's no conviction of sin. And if there's no confession and there's no repentance, our children and our grandchildren growing up thinking they're okay because some psychologist wrote a book, "I'm okay and you're okay." No, we're not okay to God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. What a tragedy it is. We have not taught our children how to confess. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the reverend. I don't care how many degrees you have by your name. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we've got our secret sins, don't we? We have our secret sins. Look at this thing. Go with me where Brother Bill read this morning. Well, we're not done there. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn and seek my face, that's what prayer is, and turn from their wicked ways," turn, that's repentance. Then he says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. God says he'll heal our land. If we could get however many genuine Christians there are in this land, if we could get them to humble themselves, seek his face, repent of their sin, turn from their wicked ways, God promises, "I'll forgive them for their sin, and I'll heal their land." What's wrong with America? I'll tell you what's wrong with America. It's called Christians. We sought for the enemy, and they is us. There's no honesty anymore. And we had a man come to the prayer experience, and I mentioned it this morning. Created a company, $30 million a year. and this man had pornography creep into his life, and it's nearly destroyed his marriage. And he texted me after church today, and he said, "I'm praying for the meeting in Spokane. Please pray for my wife. She won't forgive me. She's so hard-hearted." And I understand all that. I understand all that. But sin is sin. Either side, either way. And God is a holy God, and He hates sin, and He can't look upon sin. So sin has to be confessed and repented of and put under the blood. Who do we think we are? And there with those men at the ranch this week, there's a businessman who came to the very first prayer experience, and he spent a lot of money to get there and to fly there, and he met Brother Tom and others. And he went over by the waterfall, and he doesn't have any grotesque sin in his life, but he's over praying by the waterfall, and he told me later, he said, "The Spirit of God came upon me and convicted me that our God is a holy God. He is so holy. He's high and lifted up. He is so holy. And I realized what a sinner I am." And he said, "I began to tremble and shake, and I began to weep, and I began to beg God for little sins, little attitudes, little irritations, little frustrations, little mean words and bad thoughts." When we dropped him off at the airport on Saturday, you talk about one happy, happy dude. That guy was happy, huh? He looked at me, he's got his luggage there. I give him a hug, and Susan gives him a hug, and he looked at me and he said, "Gary, I've never had a flesh and blood brother." He said, "But I feel like you're my brother." Yeah. That's how God makes you feel when you get happy. That's a good feeling. You know? When I see Paul Pizzello, I know we're not flesh and blood brothers, but I feel like he's my brother. I feel like Don's my brother. I can't put up with the poaching from Scott, but David's my brother. It's a wonderful thing. It's the body of Christ. And I don't know if she's here tonight, but Pastor Josh grabbed me and he said, "Would you come and pray for this lady? She just found out she had cancer." Brother Don and Pastor Josh and myself went in. Never met this lady that I know of before. And we placed our hands on her. And we prayed for our sister. Our sister. Today I had two brothers. One passed away prematurely because he wouldn't repent. He was a Christian. I led him to Christ, but he wouldn't repent later on. He passed away early. I have another brother. How many kids does he have? 10? He's a pastor. I'll tell you what. I feel closer to my brothers in Christ than my own blood family. My own brothers, my own sisters. Why? It's a miracle. It's a mystery. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's being saved to a body of believers. And it's bearing one another's burdens. Turn with me to James now. Turn with me to James. God works in so many great ways. Is any among you in James chapter 5, where Bill read this morning? Is any among you, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. James chapter 5. Is any sick among you? Verse 14. James 5, 14. Underline it. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. If I had cancer today, I would call for my preacher friends and I would say, "Would you come and anoint me with oil?" The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And in the past days, we've anointed people with oil, and wombs that were closed and could not bear children had babies. And people with brain tumors, when they went in for the final test, before the tumor was gone. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Listen, I'm a Baptist. Capital B, capital A, capital B, capital T. However you spell it, I'm a Baptist. Somebody said to this grandma, if Jesus comes again and he's not a Baptist, what will you do? Well, I'll know it's not him. Well, Jesus got baptized, didn't he? By John. Oh, wow! And Jesus is in the water, and God's in heaven, and the voice comes out of heaven, and he says, this is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased, and the dove of the Holy Spirit came flying down. Wow! That's better than TV. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Boy, we don't do that, do we? Oh, man, what would people think if we confessed our faults to them? We're holy. Yeah. So we put on our Sunday best and we walk into church. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Good golly, Miss Molly. Peace, brother. And there's sin. And you know what that sin does? It makes us sick. The bitterness makes us sick. The secret makes us sick. You know, we've taught our children, and my wife and I, we're together all the time, so we have to keep short accounts with one another. When you've offended one another, you better get it right now. And I'll say, honey, I'm sorry. And she says, yes, you are. You are sorry. Short accounts. Same thing with our children. Are the enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil, and our flesh gets carried away and we'll say something or think something that's wrong. With our children, we have to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And the businessman that was there at the ranch this week, he said, I told my wife, I'm sorry. I told my wife, please forgive me, and she won't. So which sin is worse? Which sin is worse? And I can't say to my wife, your sin's worse, and she can't say to me, your sin's worse. No. It's always. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. Paul, the greatest grace preacher that ever lived. We owe most of our New Testament to the Holy Spirit writing through Paul. And Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And a few weeks ago, whenever that was, 6 weeks ago or whenever it was, when I preached here on a Sunday morning and I preached about Mary Magdalene and Peter was all pompous and high and lifted up, you know, and Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, she wept on the feet of Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears and with her hair, and she hugged him and kissed him, and Jesus rebuked Peter and said, Peter, get thou behind me, Satan. You didn't welcome me. You didn't hug me. You didn't give me a holy kiss. You didn't wash my feet. This prostitute, this sinner, because she's been forgiven much, she loves much. And you know why we don't love like we ought to? Because we don't realize how holy God is and just how much we've been forgiven. Went downstairs, you know, for the fellowship time. Walked by a table. Heard this mother say to her daughter, I love you, honey. Oh, I stopped and I said, isn't that the most beautiful word in the English language? I love you. Another beautiful word, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Another beautiful word is please forgive me. Another beautiful word, I forgive you. I love you. We haven't murdered anybody this week yet. We haven't robbed a 7-Eleven store. I'm not like them. And we think Gary Knuff's okay. Gary Knuff's not okay. If there's anything in my heart, in my mind, in my life, here we are at the prayer experience and I'm leading that. And we go out by the bonfire to have a precious time of sharing and testimony. And there's this guy. Let me tell you about my hobby. I used to fly airplanes till I couldn't fly no more. So I started buying these little airplanes and flying these Wi-Fi airplanes. He starts rattling off all the airplanes and all the this and all the that and going on and on and on and on and on. And you know, I'm trying to have a prayer experience and this guy, all he can talk about is him. The next day, the next morning, we all hike up the mountain, up this elk trail, and we're on this huge, this 300-foot cliff, and we're up there, and we're praying, and Joey's with us, and man, the guys are pouring their hearts out to God. So now it's time to hike back. And this fellow, this man, and his pastor are with me. We could hardly get the guy up the mountain, and now we got to get the guy back down. He said, you know, I was thinking in last night when I was in bed that I talk too much. And he said, and then I thought about it. No, I don't. His pastor looked at me. God, you know, I wanted to say to him, I didn't. God has given you two ears and one mouth. That's a clue. But you know what? Before I got off that mountain, I had to get right. Because that's God's child. Irritating child. So I had to get right. So then, here, last day of the prayer experience, right? Susan has, man, this spread of, you know, cold cuts and all this stuff coming out and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he's there fixing his sandwich across from me. And I thought, man, I'm thinking, where did he come from? I mean, he's there. So I said, where'd you come from? Wrong question. Well, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, in such and such a year, and then I did this, and I went to school, and then I graduated, and then I went in the Air Force, and then I... He laid me out again. I couldn't get away from him. I had to confess again. Yeah. He's one of God's children. And that guy. Oh, and then this. He takes a prayer journal. Right? At the prayer experience, we give all the guys a prayer journal. On the way up the mountain, he's writing in it and stuff. He loses his prayer journal. So he gets down and he says, well, I guess I lost my prayer journal up on the mountain somewhere. So I said, hey, just go get another one. It's okay. So he comes up to me and he hugs me and he said, this has changed my life. And he gets in the car with his pastor, his poor pastor, 7-hour drive back to the church. I go back. I go back in the diner, the lodge, and here's the new prayer journal that he took. And he's etched his name in the front of it, and he leaves it there. I had to get right 3 times on one man, on one guy. Because Jesus died for him. God loves him. And who do I think I am? Just because I was never born in Indianapolis. And I heard that story about 3 times during the week that he was telling somebody else. Yeah? And by the way, here's for you, Paul. The Bible says, comfort the feeble-minded. That's your main job, Liz. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes I'm pretty feeble-minded myself. Huh. Ain't I, honey? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Wait a minute. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray. Listen, we could be healed. You want to get happy tonight? There's only one way to do it. Confess your sins to God, and if the Holy Spirit leads, confess your faults one to another and pray that you may be healed. We need to be healed mentally, emotionally, physically. There'd be so much more if we would just get honest with God and honest with other people. So they extended the revival there at our son's church another week. And this woman, I think this week, she came back to the church. You know, I feel sorry for people who stopped coming to Spokane Baptist Church. I really do. I feel sorry because they're not on the victory. They couldn't be on the victory road. They just couldn't be. Well, here's what happened. Her husband was an alcoholic, and they came to the church, and she was addicted to pot. And they came to the church a year ago or so, and God did a miracle. He stopped drinking, and she stopped smoking pot. And they were in the church, man. They were growing and, you know, fellowshipping, and it was wonderful. And then her husband says, let's go see if there's a better church out there somewhere. And he took his wife and their little child, and they started going looking for a better church. She came back to the revival. Somebody invited her to the revival last week. She stood up in front of the church and she said, listen. And she told that story that I just told you. She said, my husband went back to drinking, I went back to pot, and my husband is in prison tonight. She said, would you pray for us? And that church wrapped their arms around her and that little child and poured their hearts out to pray for a poor lady who was misled by her husband back into the world. I feel sorry for people that left this church because somebody offended them, because they got crosswise, because they thought they were smarter than the Bible, or they just, whatever. I feel sorry for them because they can't even confess their faults one to another. They can't even pray for one another. Is any afflicted? They can't even have the healing that they need. We need each other. Another woman came to the church, well, is in the church, and this morning she came forward. She told Pastor Josh, our son, she said, you know what? Before this revival, I was going to leave this church because I thought I was the only one that had a terrible, sordid past. I thought everybody was so wonderful and such good Christians. I never realized that people were battling with the things that I'm battling with. And she said, you know, God got a hold of my heart in this revival, and this is where God wants me. We're all just sinners saved by grace. We didn't rob a 7-Eleven store. Huh? We didn't kill anybody. Yeah, but God is holy, and we've sinned against God. You want to be happy? God wants you to be happy. But you got to do it His way. Could you imagine in this nation if every blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again Christian confessed their sin, humbled themselves before God, repented, turned? See, when Paul was going like this, serving the devil, persecuting the church, he was even there for the stoning, the murder of Stephen, going like this for Satan. He got stopped by God on the Emmaus Road, turned around, repented. And millions have been saved because Paul repented. On the phone today, as we were talking with Josh, he said, my assistant came to me and said, he said, it was like a clogged drain. He said, we haven't had many visitors in the church lately. We haven't had many saved in the adult services lately. It was like a clogged drain. And over the past 2 weeks, when our people started confessing their faults one to another and asking forgiveness one of or another, man, we've had so many visitors and we've had so many people saved because the drain's open. Listen to me. I told you this morning, this is our favorite church. And you know what? If I come here, if I have unconfessed, unrepented of sin in my life, see, David said, oh God, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. You and I need to pray that prayer. Susan and I, we pray that as every day we pray that. And if there's anything, a bad attitude, a bad spirit, if there's rebellion or disobedience or just frustration, we just confess it. So I'm the evangelist and I come here. And if there's some wicked way in me, I could clog the drain and nothing could happen in your heart and life. And then God's going to judge me and chasten me for that. If I cause you to stumble, if I clog the drain because I've refused to repent or refused to be honest, then the drain gets clogged. Oh my goodness, how many people have we hurt because we had sin? Yeah. Oh. Didn't rob a 7-Eleven. Yeah. But you thought you were better than a little bus kid. Or you got irritated because a little kid downstairs spilled his Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. What is it? You want to be happy tonight? I'll tell you what, I'm happy tonight. I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm a happy camper tonight. Because I prayed all afternoon. There'd be no wicked way in me. And I can't promise you that there won't be my morning. Because maybe I'll get a phone call and I'll be mad. Maybe Mark will call me and give me his life story. I'll have to repent all over again. But I promise you, if that happens, I'll be on my face in the morning asking God to forgive me. And who do I think I am? And have mercy on me. Because I want the people of Spokane Baptist Church to be blessed. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. This is the core. These are the inner circle. These are the ones that are really seeking. Please help us tonight. Please help us to not hurt Pastor Josh and his sweet wife. Please help us not to hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ because there be some wicked way in us. Please help us keep short accounts with each other and short accounts with You. Turn the searchlight of Your Word on in our hearts, right now in our minds, in our hearts. And if there's anything, please help us to see it and to deal with it. Oh God, we need healing. We need mental healing. We need emotional healing. We need physical healing. We need spiritual healing. Help us, Lord, to get happy tonight. Help us, Lord, to be the solution for our country, for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren. Please help us to be the solution because we're thoroughly right with God. I pray in Jesus' name. Please stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed in an attitude of prayer. If you'd play the piano quietly, softly,